Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
617-779-0985. Smells of summer in the mix today, too. Oh, you know, hearing you give that story in headlines about baseball, Hardy, it's Scott Boras emailing his clients and saying, don't bail out the owners. Don't accept this. What if the owners cave? What if they pay the guys? What do we say then?
It sets such a bad precedent. Either way, there's so much wrong going on with this so far that I think a bad precedent is going to be set on either side.
And what, for the next pandemic? I mean, really?
No, for further negotiating between Major League Baseball and the Players Union. Right now, unless I get information to the contrary, And I don't want to side with the owners on this. You know, I think all of us, you know, have a tendency to side with the players, and we want to, you know, believe them and trust them and know that they're the ones that we're really watching. But if they agreed back in March to renegotiate, if there weren't going to be fans in the stands, why are they so unwilling to renegotiate? And as Scott Boras said in this email that the Associated Press got, it said players should not agree to further pay cuts to bail out the owners. Let the owners take some of the record revenues and profits from the past several years and pay you the prorated salaries you agreed to accept, or let them borrow against their asset values they created from the use of those profits players generated. I mean, that's fine, but that's not what you agreed to back in March. You agreed to talk about it some more if the situation
makes me want
to
know what the hell was said in those meetings. Because the line's one sentence in the document that they signed. And no, you're right. They should not have agreed to it if they didn't want to have things. We agree on that. But I'm just saying, I would love to know what the hell the two sides were talking about in that room back in March when they were discussing this and when they agreed to that. Because the players have been defiant in all of this. And Scott Boras has been so adamant that no, they said they were going to pay them. And you look at the actual language and say, yeah, but the players signed that they would go back and discuss this further and renegotiate in good faith. But if the owners cave, the players were right, and they proved that they were right. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just saying, what if? You know, let's play the what if game. Yeah. Owners cave and say, you know what, we'll pay you. Because as Boras says, they can't have a season without you. If you don't play, they don't have a product. Their product is you. And so if they do cave and they do pay them, they're proving a point. The players will have proven their point and proven it correctly, that the owners are full of crap, they have plenty of money, and it's worth it for them to pay us the money. I don't see it happening, but it'll be interesting if it does, if the owners do come back and eventually cave to players, or if the owners are as serious in their, you know, threat of not having a season as the players are. It's like a game of chicken at some point. You know, who's going to blink? Who's going to try and cave?
Right.
And are owners willing to do it because they ultimately believe it will be in their best interests?
Yeah, and the owners too. And like what we mentioned this earlier, like what's the drop dead date on this for an owner, or you know, for them coming together and saying, you know what, F them, we won't play this year. I think it's coming sooner than people think, Because people think you could say, okay, we could play 60 games. We'll just keep pushing it back into the fall. Or you could play games down south where it's warmer or stay in Arizona right. or in Florida, whatever. But there becomes a point where they, as business owners and people that know how to make money, want to know we're either going to kill ourselves or either we're not. We're not going to let this thing go anymore. We're just going to say, screw it, not pay them.
Right, because everyone frames it as, well, if you don't play and you're the players, you guys get nothing. You know, what you're willing to accept is better than getting nothing. Well, what about from the owner's perspective? What if having a season, paying the prorated salaries, means that they earn 10% of what they normally would get instead of 40% of what they would normally get, right?
Yeah.
And you say, you could say the same thing to them. Hey, guys, is it better to make 10% and have a season and try and keep your clients happy in the advertising department and those types of things? It's better to make 10% than to make nothing.
Sure.
And the same thing applies to the other side. And I wonder if at some point, you know, there's an owner in there who says, come on, let's do this. We get it's better to have a season and have it shortened and make a little bit of money than make no money at all and shut down our whole league. It's interesting because if they do cave, the players will end up looking good if the owners cave and give in to them. And they'll say, see, we told you they could do it. We told you they had plenty of money.
Show us your books.
And
show
at the end of the
books.
Day, they knew yeah. it. You know, so it's just something to watch. I think it's going down a bad road. I think everyone's probably pissed off at each other, and it's going to end badly because they're running out of time. If they're going to play this summer, they've got to figure out a plan soon to be able to get that plan in motion.
That's right. We just did our Summer Smells, you know, contest there.
Right.
Okay. There's even no baseball. Normally, you would hear the crack of the bat, right?
Yeah. If that's not an indicator, I don't know what is. I mean, they're already doing the Summer Smells segment. Come on. It's time to play
double.
Ball.
Well,
yeah.
Billy and Saugus on that very segment. Billy.
Billy.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey.
Listen, if they're not playing ball by now, they're not playing. This is ridiculous. They should have already been playing. I mean, it's so easy for them to just come down to it and get it done. It's ridiculous. But listen, though, Zoe, you're a big pool guy.
Yes,
you like
sir.
To smell the pool.
Yes.
All right. The more chlorine you smell, the filthier your pool is. That's a fact.
Explain.
Right.
Explain yourself.
I agree with you to this extent, because if you ever go to a hotel or you go to one of those public pools, you smell chlorine about a mile away.
Well, yeah, exactly. Couldn't it just mean you put too much chlorine in it? Why does
No, listen, I said the same thing.
Yeah,
I was out
at
BC working.
Right.
They were building an Olympic pool. And we're like, oh, the chlorine smells awesome. He's like, no, that's bad. He's like, when you smell it like that, that means the pool is filthy.
Yeah, but why?
What's the science behind that? I'm curious to know.
It's probably cleaning all the crap that's in the pool, dude. That's all I can think of.
It could also mean that you just put too much chlorine in it. It doesn't mean that the pool is dirty.
Man.
It just means you're using a lot of chlorine.
Maybe you didn't backflush quick enough.
Thing. I'm just telling you what the pool guy told me. I was shocked, too.
Yeah, what are you mad at him now? What are you mad at Billy for, Hardy? He does shit the middleman.
Billy, great call. Billy and Saugus, thank you.
Are you saying the pool guy's lying to me? What are you saying?
Well, no, I think you have required a little more conversation.
There's something to that. Maybe there is some science there that we don't know about.
Nope. Cause, effect, only one thing can only mean one other. You
Hardy.
Smell chlorine, the pool is filthy, I'll hang up and listen to you agree
right.
with me.
Like, if you take a 5-gallon bucket filled with water and you drop a teaspoon of bleach in, it might have a little bleachy smell there.
Filthy!
Right? If you
that
fill
means
it up
the water's filthy!
Half with bleach and half with water, it's going to have a smell to it.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't mind that because, when you shock your pool, you got to put I put a 5-gallon bottle of shock in, but I'll go around the pool to different areas, and it just you see it there. I love to get in there and just mix it up, cannonball it, swish it around. Jim, do you pour yours in a bucket and then slowly add it, or
at the beginning of the season I use the liquid, then during the maintenance I just use the powder that you mix. Yeah,
yeah, there you go.
But yeah, you're right. The mixing around the kids went in the pool the first time on Wednesday. And the pool looked a lot cleaner when they got out of the pool. Like, it mixed up all the chemicals and
sure
got them
does.
Working properly.
Sure did. That's right. The more sweaty they are, the better. That's the way it works with those pool chemicals. How's your bromide, Hardy? You got good levels? check your levels in your hot tub?
I really don't know what all the names are. All I know is that, you know, the strip colors are matching up perfectly.
Yeah,
and if one is starting to fade outside of the optimal range, I add whatever chemical on the chart. It's just stuff. It's, you know, it's a tablespoon.
Make sure you got enough bromide, Bob.
It's an ounce of that.
Because the foam. When it starts foaming.
It's a hot tub cocktail that he's working on over there.
I added a little 2 ounces of defoamer last night. We're getting a few too many bubbles in there.
Oh, right? Yep. Defoamer. Mm. Mm-hmm.
He's Blondie's perfume. Might be a little too strong.
Yeah, I'm trying to institute the shower before the hot tub rule, and it's not it's not being adhered to by everybody. Let's just put it that way. Not everybody follows the rules.
John in the car on pools and chlorine. John.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
I don't know if you're familiar with Mark Rober. He's a former NASA scientist. He has a YouTube channel now, and he did an experiment. And that chlorine smell, that's from pee in the pool. It only happens when there's pee in the pool.
That's 100% incorrect.
I know who Mark Rober is, yes.
It's such a lie. If you fill up a pool or a hot tub and you add the chemicals that you need to keep the water clean and sanitized, you know what you smell before you even so much as dip a finger in it? You smell chlorine. No one's had a chance to urinate in the water yet. Open up.
Rober's a smart guy.
Open up the jar with a scoop of chlorine and smell it. Oh, someone must have pissed in this thing. Woo! That's what Mark Rober said. That makes no sense.
I watched a video this morning with Mark Rober where he created a squirrel obstacle course in his backyard to see if squirrels could compete to get across an obstacle course to get to a bird feeder that was filled with walnuts for the squirrels. I do know who he is, but which line am I going to, Jim?
Line 6. James in Plymouth.
James in Plymouth. James.
Hey, how you doing? So
hey.
I'm a lifeguard at a summer camp, and my boss told me that the smell of chlorine comes from when kids don't take showers and they go in the pool, all that oil's off their body. That smell comes from the oils reacting with the chlorine.
Yes.
So that's just like the what's the word I'm looking for? It's like the reaction smell. Sorry, I can't think of the word. But all the smell is just that reacting with the chlorine and killing the
germ. Chemical reaction.
Okay.
Billy and Saugus was onto it, man. I'm not
just
discounting
dirty,
that.
Dirty towns, man.
Some of it is a chemical reaction, but I find
before
it,
you go to a public pool, drive around to see which ones don't smell like chlorine, because you probably want to go in those.
Well, I find
the other ones are all dirty.
Interesting that the chlorine smell also smells like, what does it smell like? Chlorine. So the chlorine smell from a pool, which we're being told is only because it's chemically reacting with feces. That's the only reason why it smells like that, except it smells exactly the same as chlorine, like the chlorine that you open up out of the jar. I mean, that has a smell, too. Could that not be just a little part of it? In fact, there's chlorine in the water. You smell a little bit of the chlorine. Can it be both?
More likely than not, honey, it's filth.
It's the filthy, dirty kids.
You know those too. Go back to those smells.
I talked to the pool guy, and he told me it's dirty, it's filthy, nasty. All right, we'll get to more on this. So coming up next, more of the calls, and don't go anywhere.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
(617) 779-0985 is the telephone number. Let's get to some of your calls. Mike in New Hampshire on the pool smell. Hey, Mike.
Mikey.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, good, good.
All right. So, first of all, I'm a chemistry teacher. I've actually done this experiment a few times, and all of it, quite a few times. It's got nothing to do with...
You peed in the water to see if it would smell more?
Well, no. At least not in front of any chemistry classroom.
Got it. Okay. All right.
It's got nothing to do with feces. Because if you need to smell something to realize you've got feces in your pool, it's a big problem. You shouldn't own a pool. If you put chlorine into the water, it creates an acid. Those acids react with ammonia, which comes out of urine and sweat and oils on our skin and all that junk. And then when it reacts, it turns into a gas. And that's what you're smelling. It's something called chloramine, which is the gaseous form of the chlorine you put in. So if you're getting a strong smell, it means there's a lot of urine or oils or sweat in your pool to react with the chlorine.
What's the atomic number? What's the atomic number of iridium?
That'd be 72. I don't know.
77.
Oh, come on.
77. Jeez. Not a chemistry teacher. Hang up on him, Beetle.
Get out of here.
He hung up. I did not hang up on him.
72 is... I can't even
I miss Miami.
Hafnium. Yeah. See? He didn't even know.
If he were a chemistry teacher, he'd know. He'd know the periodic table of elements.
Right. Lucky I didn't ask him about stable isotopes. He'd be hemming and hawing still.
Dan is in Boston on Golf Tee Times. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. First, love the show. You guys are great. You definitely keep everybody entertained. Disappointed we won't be able to have the Hoosier Caddy Golf Tournament. Love playing in that every year. All you guys are great hosts, so certainly appreciate that. But, Hardy, if you're looking to get some tee time.
Hey, speaking of
feces.
Feces in pools, you weren't the guy who left the gift at our Hoosier Caddy Classic a couple of years back, are you?
No, that's not me. No, okay. I got the Torrey Krug hat last year.
Oh, yeah, I remember you. Okay.
But anyway, if you're looking to get out there, you got to go a little bit further away from where you used to play in. Don't be afraid to drive about, 30, 45 minutes. Go to, Pembroke Country Club or go to Rehoboth Country Club or go to some of those other places that you might not usually, because they're looking for people to get on, and you'll have no problem getting on those courses. Some good friendly slopes, 125 range, a little over 6,000 yards.
Ooh,
so
I like that.
Nothing,
right.
nothing too challenging, but still pretty fun to get out there.
Right. You get out of here, Hardy. Wentworth Hills. I'll get you on out here, right in the backyard.
No, I think we could. That was my point. We could all get on somewhere, but you don't want to bump somebody out of a tee time. You don't want to, put somebody else out just because you have to play. I don't have to play. I'm just saying that if they wanted to create some more tee times and do them a little more frequently than every 15 minutes, I think people would appreciate it. And I would be one of those people. That's all.
Do we now have to tell the story about the golf tournament?
No, I don't think we should. I do not think we should.
Someone took a dump? Someone took a crap on the green, didn't they?
Not on the green.
Not on the green.
It was in the clubhouse?
It was in the clubhouse.
Are you serious?
It was unfortunate, but we moved past it. And,
so don't act like you don't know the story.
I don't.
He was long gone by the time that happened.
Zoe doesn't know this story?
No.
And we're not going to say where it happened or when it happened or anything else, but it did.
Why?
Happen.
They deserve sainthood for putting up with our crowd.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't. It doesn't reflect well on anybody.
Who saw it?
It's my fault for bringing it up in the first place.
What'd the old boss do?
I don't know. Tried to fight somebody. I don't know.
It may have been him.
He would have thrown down. It may have been him.
Why do you think he doesn't work here anymore? Stop. I'm just saying.
No. He's very cordial on the course.
This wasn't on the course.
Wasn't on the course.
That's a good point.
I can't believe Joe doesn't know about that.
I never heard about that.
We'll tell you more later.
Only as the incident. That's
criminal charges.
It's like when Packard did it to Michael Scott in his office. I left you a present, man.
Zoe, let's just say this. It was not forgiven.
It was not forgiven, huh?
No.
Well, what do you say, though? I mean, what do you say? What do you say?
I don't know.
That's for him and the police to deal with.
The cops came?
I don't know if they came that day. More of the
that's awesome.
Who came first?
Why
the cops
come to court there, young man,
or the crime scene cleanup? What was the order? I think cops
Jay
first,
Brian Day,
and then they
hey, get Jay Brian Day up here.
Call Jay Brian Day. They're on the way, dude.
That's right, man. Bring those fans. Hey, don't
better bring extra fans for this one.
It's stain remover.
You can't get that smell out, man. I don't care if you have a problem with the
body. Oh, no, it's like
it's always ingrained in it.
It's like
you know
killing
that
an
from experience.
It's like killing an animal, man, with your bare hands. You'll never wash the blood off. It'll always haunt you.
I feel bad for people that can't train dogs, and the dogs go duty in the house, and it's a smell that never really leaves.
Yeah. Chris is in Worcester on the match. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah, that's correct. Hey, guys, thank you. I usually don't get out of work this early. I work in Boston. I live in Worcester. But it's awesome. Oh, my gosh, there's so many points. I want to ask Hardy, because I'm a scratch golfer, like horrible golfer. But when, like, the friends ask you to go out and say, you know, yeah, hey, Chris, you know, can you scratch? Oh, horrible, horrible. But can you make that? What is it?
Do you know
like,
what a scratch golfer is?
Wait, who's a scratch golfer? Like, who's a scratch
you know
golfer?
I mean? Like a horrible, like, yeah, no, like horrible. Like, just, you know, just get, hey, Chris, we need your number to help our team. Right? You know? Anyways, but when you make that one shot, like when you make that one shot in that match, you know, you kind of in the fairway or you put it on the green or you make the putt. But my point being was the match. I'm sorry. Just that's great. I don't know if that's four ball tournament. So what that brings you back to is the match. Where we're talking
a lot of words.
I know, but I don't know. Sorry. Please. I apologize.
Beetle, he normally doesn't get out of work this early. Hey, forgive him.
He's excited.
I can only imagine. You must drive people work nuts. That person next to you, you talk all day. Yeah, it's like Toby.
You'd be like Toby
from The Office.
When you left work early today, was there someone walking out with you with a cardboard box?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry. Just on the match. I'm sorry. If we go back to it when we were talking about, like, what would you like to see? Maybe a little bit more charisma. You know, Tiger was a peepit. I didn't like Tiger in that match. I liked Phil. I thought Brady was okay, and I loved Peyton Manning. But anyways, but if you were taking celebrities, my favorite golfer of all time, believe it or not, before Tiger was Greg Norman. I'd like to see like a senior young, or maybe, you know, something like that. I love Greg Norman. Okay. I'd love to see him dust off.
So all golfers? You want all golfers?
No. Like, no. Just try. Maybe you could bump it up just a little bit. 2-2, 2-2.
Okay, 2-2, 2-2. If it's all golfers, nobody's watching. Sorry.
They used to watch the Skins game, but you had four guys out there with personalities.
They didn't watch it 2 weeks ago when it was on.
Because you had four stiffs. McIlroy's a nice guy.
Yeah, which is pretty much the state of golf these days.
People like
Ricky
Fowler.
The draw is
McIlroy,
that
nice guy. Looks like the guy on the cover of Mad Magazine. You know, like nerdy. It's just the guy. Spieth is a robot. He doesn't bring anybody to the table.
Based on the commentary that he provided, I think Justin Thomas would be a good addition to one of these.
They should
matches.
Have him mic'd up for a moment and tell all the off the green stories
and I
of
did,
home.
I
yes.
did not see that coming. I view him as a Jordan Spieth clone. You watch their swings in silhouette. It's tough to tell who from who. They grew up playing junior golf together. They're fast friends. But Justin Thomas had what I thought was some real personality, not just by golfer standards either. I thought he was good as a commentator during that match. So he might be an addition. But, no, it's going to be Phil. It's going to be Tiger. And they're going to pick a couple of athletes or celebrities. I mean, Bill Murray would be fun to have out there for a hole or two. You know, keep Barkley involved. Let him do a little bit more. I thought that was good.
Six like Manute Bull. It's somebody out there. We need somebody out there like a Yeti. Something like that. Charles Barkley. I think he'd be fun to watch with this crazy ass.
You're just amused by really tall people or really short people. They don't even have to do anything else other than to just stand next to average height people, and that's enough to entertain you, isn't it?
It amazes me. Sit there and watch the little guy just hit bombs like 50 yards past my drive. It drives me nuts.
All right.
Don't go anywhere. 617-779-0985. Today's takeaway is coming up at 1:50.
First, our introduction. Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continue. Sports app.
No, we blew 6-1 it
today. What? What did we blow?
It's National Hamburger Day.
And so what would you have liked us to do differently? So
I mean, could have planned a hamburger segment. Somebody actually cooked on a griddle on a grill?
I did. I took Hardy's advice the other day.
How'd that burger come out?
It came out really nicely. Came out great.
Enough to where you would do it again?
Yes. So I have a question for the griddle people. How do you sort of get that griddle looking like it was when it was new?
Oh.
What type of griddle is it?
He's got one of those cast irons. You have to use foil. If you actually listen to me, seriously. Yeah. You take tin foil and you mash it up in a ball.
There you go.
And you scrub the heck out of it.
There you go.
Okay. And then what you're going to do is you're going to get a rag and you're going to get olive oil. After you do that, after you clean it, you don't wet it and you season. You got to continually season those pans with olive oil. And you could actually put it in the oven to heat it and then take it out and then oil it again and then let it cool down. And that's how you season it.
Because this was the first time it had ever
really gotten with the foil.
It ever really gotten gummed up with, you know, grease and it was disgusting.
Yeah.
And, I was like, I got to get this off this pan. And I put soap and water in it.
No, you can't clean that. You cannot clean that pan with that. You can even get a bristle brush, like a tough bristle brush. But no soap and water, man. And then that's the only pan you can't clean like you clean the other pans.
I know.
Yeah, so but boy, it tastes good if you'd use it right. Oh.
See,
fix that sucker.
The cast iron, it is kind of like tough to clean, but I think Zoe was the one who taught me the rolled up aluminum foil trick, and that works to like get the crustiest stuff out. But it's a leap of faith whenever you use that thing because you know that you've never had soap on it.
Right.
You know, you've never actually cleaned that thing.
No, but I mean, you can still take it out and rinse it out.
But you're just going to tell yourself that's going to get hot enough to kill anything that's left on here. Let's go for it.
Right.
Okay. All right. If you say so. But people have been doing it forever, so I guess it's all right.
Yeah, I mean, once you get it heated, once you get it heated back up to 400 degrees, I think you're fine.
But why don't we do that with any other pan? I know with the cast iron, it's supposed to be because it's, you know, it flavors it.
It's weird.
Supposed to be, but for any other pan, you would never just wipe it down and say, good enough. I mean, you clean it with soap.
Well, so because my guess is that with a cast iron griddle, you're cooking a lot of the same items over and over in it.
See, with Flame 2, when with Flame 2 with your other pots, like I watch this old guy on the videos, the Facebook video, the cooking shows. Hello, everybody. I'm going to make a stuff for eggplant today. But when he's boiling his pasta, the flames go up the side of the pot, and it gets dark, like black on the outside. He goes, I'm going to show you a cheap way to clean it. Takes it outside, gets mud on a sponge, rubs in the mud, and then hoses it off, and it is crystal clear. Like, I was amazed, man. It's almost like he used polish. He said, you use dirt. He said, gets it cleaned. Takes his pots outside, cleans them with dirt, hoses them off. It's crazy. So you learn cooking stuff here.
Chris in Methuen has a thought on this. Chris.
Hey, I'm calling in from Methuen. I'm glad you guys are still on the air. And my brother and cousins have a YouTube channel called The Griddle Guys. And they've got tons of great information on there. They've got a Blackstone griddle, and they also have a Camp Chef, I think. But Blackstone griddle, and lots of good information on there.
So- Griddle Guys, thank you.
Thank
you. Appreciate it, Chris. But check that out. So I'll let you know if there's anything good on there for us.
Yeah, it'd be cool, man. Just get one of those guys, get one of those oil guys, like those oil cans, have that thing cut in half, and have that thing grated to where you could put charcoal, and then you really could grill like a cow on that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll see them at good barbecue joints.
Hey,
most
Ohio.
Barbecue joints are like that. What's that?
Yo, Pete.
Pete!
Hey, boys. Hey, happy summer. Hey, look, here's a quick burger recipe. Lipton onion soup with an egg, and you mix it in with the ground beef. That's a good one. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
Yeah, my mom used to do that. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And you're right, Zoe, about the cooking or not cleaning the pans with the dirt. My father used to do that. He was a chef.
I couldn't believe it.
I remember. Yeah, I've heard that, and I've witnessed him do it. Hey, two things. It ain't summer without the sounds of summer when you don't have a shark victim on the Cape. So, that's a smell thing. You guys were doing smell, but you gotta throw that in there, too. You got to throw that in there for a sound effect.
I'm glad you brought this up, Pete, because I've been thinking about it. They're not here yet, but they are on their way. One of the biggest ones they've ever tagged was actually off Mar-a-Lago, Florida, heading north. They think it's somewhere between 18 to 23 foot, this one. Heading up this way to eat because the seals are going to be out there. And I'm gonna predict them that we're gonna have another attack this summer. But I just got to figure out where it's going to happen and what town it's going to happen in.
Yeah, and
what town that person
I'm predicting.
We're not
attack.
Wishing for it.
And don't That's do this lightly, Zoe, because last time you predicted it, it was eerily close to who got it and how it happened. And I know you didn't feel good about it afterward.
Oh,
yeah,
God,
so don't do it again.
No. So.
Scary.
We'll retract that.
Yeah. Okay.
Retraction issued.
That's going to happen.
Retraction.
Stay out of the water.
You know, I would predict it won't happen.
Why? Because those new phones they installed on the sand dunes. That hey, somebody just got bit by a shark. Can you call somebody?
No, clever boy, clever boy,
clever boy.
Why won't it happen? Why, Beetle?
I think there are going to be fewer people.
Yeah.
So I think the numbers just mathematically there might be fewer people that the shark is able to bite in half. Really.
The little seals are already in Chatham Harbor, popping up everywhere.
Yeah, no, the seals live there. They're always there. They're always there. That's where they live. Brian's in New York. Brian.
Hey, so I'm calling because the theory that you can't wash a cast iron pan or like a griddle in water is just false. And I don't know who started this, like big aluminum foil or whatever. But I have been washing my cast iron pan for 20 years in the water, and it is not rusted. You just can't put it in the dishwasher.
No. With soap is what we're saying.
I use soap. I use soap. It's like, I don't get it. Like, do I have a cast iron pan from heaven that, like, I can wash?
Maybe.
I let it soak for, like, an hour. It's already rusted.
If you read on them when you buy them and you watch cooking shows, and I watch a lot of this, they tell you that's the best way to take care of them because you want to season the pan. It's like a grill. You want it. It's going to enhance the taste of the food each and every time you use it.
I don't understand all that stuff. And you use salt to season it or something like that.
You can use that to scratch it up. Sea salt.
My brother-in-law is a chef, and he told me years ago, he's like, that's disgusting. Of course you should wash it with soap, but you have to re-season it with salt. I don't know what the hell he was talking about, and I didn't understand.
That's why I'm going to watch the griddle guys.
I don't understand it now. All I know is that in my house, when I'm doing the dishes, now. I get yelled at if soap comes anywhere near the cast iron, and I get told not to. And if I'm nothing else if not coachable, so I just do what I'm told.
Beetle's going to watch pot cleaning videos all night tonight. He's going down a wormhole. I can tell right now.
James in Utah. Hi, James.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Hey.
So, the monsoon storms smell great when you live in the desert because you go about a month and a half without any rain. And so, like, late July, they start coming in. And that sounds great. Or that smells great. And then, like, as far as the Bruins with that first round of this weird playoff thing.
What?
How about my targeting stars?
What? What'd you say, James?
How about targeting the star players in that first round of this weird playoff thing in the NHL.
Yeah, take them out.
How?
If I was a heavy team, that's what I would do. I would try to take, I mean, I'm a Bruins fan.
Oh, but target them to injure them. Got it. Like target.
That's the best call of the day.
Well, I mean.
Mike, who's in Attleboro, up next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. I just want to say thanks for being on the air. Appreciate the entertainment.
Thank you.
I just had a quick thing. So I'm a first responder, so I have a little bit of experience with CBAs. I'm wondering, do you think the owners are actually bargaining in good faith and maybe they're actually trying to push for a lockout but hiding it under the guise of the PR that they have right now?
totally possible.
Say, I would possible, I mean, but I would say no want, based on you want revenue coming in.
Are you saying strike right, or not, lockout? Which one? You want? You think that they might lock him out?
I think it's a lockout. I'm not saying that the players aren't doing their best either. I think both sides could compromise, but I'm really starting to question like some of the details coming out. Like maybe that's why the players are overreacting and they're obviously coming out looking bad. But the owners, I'm wondering if they're secretly maybe trying to, I don't know, maybe at least go for a lockout, like you said.
Well, at what point is it does it not make financial sense for the owners to put any kind of a season on? They're not going to have any ticket sales. They're not going to have any concession sales.
Right.
They're not going to have any in-stadium. Some of the in-stadium advertising stuff still might fly, though, because it's going to get picked up on camera. And are you advertising for the people in the seats, or are you all that in-stadium stuff? You know, they sell the Green Monster. Are they selling that for the people at Fenway, or are they selling that for when it gets picked up on TV? So some of that money still might come in. But obviously, they're not going to make nearly as much. And at what point did they say, this just isn't going to be worth it? Maybe we should continue these negotiations in a way that these players just say no and we don't have a season. And how much worse off are we going to be?
Today's takeaways are coming up next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, 6 locations locally. Find your local one. Check it out online at awaken180weightloss.com. They'll virtually coach you up losing weight at home. Lose 8 pounds the very first week. Summer is here, so don't hesitate. Call Awaken180 Weight Loss today. What are we at?
All right, let's go to the takeaways. Two from the same segment today. Both of them are Zoe. First one is on Bill Buckner and hairy men in general.
There's certain people I don't forget, and I've talked about it with Bob, that when you get around a man and you're at an event and you see that the man has a shirt on and you just see this, he has done everything he could to shave down, to eliminate the look of anything, but he's got another shirt on under there that is just wanting to come out. And then you shake hands with him, and then there's hair all over the back of the knuckles. And then you think, this has got to be one of the hairiest men I've ever been around. That's all. But Buckner was like that. Always had her like sticking out of his shirt. You got it coming out of your ears. Just not. You know, some guys grow hair well.
Okay.
Okay,
like,
then.
You spend time with people. Like, I would like think that Bertrand, you're not that hairy. I would think Hardy is more hairier than you. Yeah, I spent time with Bob, you know, calling a couple games, a couple preseason games, having fun, you know, doing this and that. Then we get out to Arizona, our first trip, you know, 3-day trip to Arizona, playing on the West Coast. I think it was Jimmy's game. And I'm in the pool. I'm actually in the pool with Capello. Bob comes out, and then all of a sudden, boom, shirt comes off, and we both scream. And I think two other ladies scream, "Oh, my God, look how hairy he is." Like, wow, like he had another,
okay,
he had another shirt on under there.
But you never spent time with Bill Buckner.
I've seen Bill Buckner at an event, and
with
he
his
had
shirt
that,
off.
No, he had that neck hair jutting out. It's right here. It's right here. They shave to here, and then you just get the sprawls that just stick out. You know that guy's hairy. He is a hairy SOB. Because that's a carpet under there.
Let's get to the final one here. Roll it.
Oh my God! Have they ever? It's been 17,914 days since we've been in this position.
We went downstairs and we had the breakfast that came free with the plate that we were staying in with the team. And you and I went out. We went for a walk. It's a real pretty city, Boston. There's water. And we're just really excited to be here tonight. The building, St. Louis is full. We're in a building here. We're on our trip in Boston. The building's full here. And my stomach's full because I just ate a lot of pregame stuff.
Maybe walk around the concourse here at the TD Garden. See, they've started serving up the jumbo home-cooked meatballs.
They made me put them in my hands like the wedding singer. That's how they pay you. They don't have any cups. And a lady says, put your hands out. And you just eat them. I'm gonna watch you eat them.
Yeah, okay, then.
That's pretty much it.
Good stuff.
Hey, enjoy a burger today on Burger Day.
Yeah, we really screwed up the show today. How's that?
No, I think it was a good one today.
All right, Thunder Mass.
All right.
Coming up next.
See you, everybody.
We'll be back at 10 tomorrow. We'll do it all over again. Bye, guys. See ya.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. LineMA.org.